Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled Holy Mackerel, and it is part one of a four-part series titled Miracles Everywhere. It is based on Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So let us dive into the Word today. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of Galilee, or the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the Word of God. He noticed the two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now, go out where it is deeper, and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me, for I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Amen. How many of you have been fishing before? For those of you that know me and know that I am vegan, and for those of you that don't, you now do. Or plant strong, as I like to say. But for those of you that know me, it may come as a surprise to you that I was not always vegan. And I used to love fishing, believe it or not. Me and one of my best friends used to go fishing on the river all the time, trout fishing. Well, I loved the idea of it anyway. But it took far more patience than I often had. And sometimes there was little to no catch, if you know what I mean. How frustrating it can be to not catch any fish, especially when you've spent hours casting your line into the river, or your line into the lake, or your nets, and you pull up nothing. And then there are the times you catch fish, but the fish gets away. I once caught a massive trout, rainbow trout, in the river, pulled that thing up, and as I lifted it up out of the water, the line snapped, and away went the fish. How frustrating, how disappointing. Of course, I have since become a fisher of a different sort, a fisher that Jesus talks about in the gospel message. I've become a fisher of people. When I started off as a youth pastor, I remember that I was excited by the idea of becoming a fisher of youth, but quickly found it was not nearly as easy as I thought it would be. Many of the youth graduated or left because they liked the previous leaders and weren't comfortable with the change. It's common. I'm not the first to have had that happen too, and I'm not going to be the last, I'm sure. Immediately, as I took over our youth group, our youth went from 20, about, down to 4. I lost a good many fish in the net as it was handed to me. And how disappointing that was. I mean, I didn't let anybody know around me how disappointed I was. But I was disappointed. Like, why did this happen? No matter how hard I tried to refill the nets, It was only the four remaining fish that I was able to hold on to. And by the end of summer of my first year, there was still only the same four youth in our youth group. Nothing I tried seemed to catch any more fish, and I tried a lot of different things. I tried to have this program, to have that program. I tried to do things that I thought that the youth would be interested in. But there were only four remaining youth. And how do I reach the youth outside of those four? And to make it more difficult, people began to scrutinize my fishing abilities, which only made matters worse for me. We've all been there before, right? We get so tired of fishing because it seems to bear little to no results. We're tired of holding events because no one comes. We're tired of teaching Sunday school because it seems hopeless with so few children. We're tired of doing ministry because it seems there are less and less fish. In today's scripture, we're reminded about how tiring fishing can be, how hopeless it can often feel when the results don't match what our hopes are. Even for fishermen, especially for fishermen, whose lives depended on catching fish. This can become super tiresome, even for the people who do it professionally. But the scripture also reminds us the possibilities that exist in our Lord God. Amen? The scripture reminds us the possibilities that exist in our Lord God. It is when we are tired, when we are about to give up, when we are feeling hopeless, that God reminds us that the work is far from over, and that all things are possible through Christ who gives us strength. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? When we come up with empty nets while fishing, Christ does not call us to retire or to give up or to quit. Rather, Christ calls us to go deeper, to sail into new territories, and to fish in different waters. I could have quit youth ministry when I only had four people show up for months and months, when I had people scrutinizing whether I could fish at all. I could have said, well, I gave this a noble attempt. Oh well, must not be. I could have given up. But I kept believing that God was going to perform miracles in that ministry and in that church. Sure, inside I was nervous, uncertain, felt like a failure. But I kept believing that God put me there for a reason, and that God was going to perform miracles in that ministry and in that church. You see, it wasn't just a youth problem, but it was a church problem as well. And I find this so often in many churches. Any of the churches I've been involved with, we like the idea of youth, we like the idea of children, but how engaged with them are we? So I began to think outside the boat and to sail to different territories, which started by listening to the teens that I had there, building up a core, gaining their trust. 4 grew to 10. Then I decided to take my love of music and start an open mic. I used to love going to open mics when I was a brooding teenager. I used to love going and playing music and performing that in front of people. It was a way of expressing who I was as a teenager. It was a way of getting all that junk inside of me out. So I said, you know, gee, music's pretty universal. If I got something out of that, I bet you the youth today would get something out of that. So I started up an open mic. And, you know, the 10 would invite some friends. So we start off with maybe 15 to 20 who came to the first open mic, you know, the 10 youth I had plus some friends. And before you knew it, there was such excitement around that open mic. And kids could perform whether they knew how to play an instrument or not. I'd set it up so they could plug their iPhones in and sing along to their favorite songs if they didn't know how to play music. Some danced, some read poetry. I mean, it was literally an open mic. Do what you want within reason. And I gave them freedom of expression. And because of that, such excitement grew around that ministry that 20 became 30, 30 became 40, 40 became 50. One day I walked in and 80 people showed up, my friends. 80 kids from the high school, from the community. Word of mouth had spread about this open mic so much that 80 kids came pouring into a church on a Saturday evening. Just to be, some of them weren't even performing, just to be there. Which was a bit of a scary moment for me because I was the only adult there. Along with a couple of young adults who were helping out. I was the only, adult there. So that next Monday, because I had kids everywhere, I had kids inside, kids outside, God knows what the kids outside were doing. One adult can only do so much monitoring. So I went into the office the next Monday and said, you know what, guys, if we're going to have this open mic, we really need this church to support this ministry. We really need other adults there to make sure that this is a safe environment for other kids. And you know what, friends? When they heard that 80 kids came pouring into the church, all of a sudden the church was taking ownership of that ministry and were showing up. And we had people of all ages bridging the gap between the young and the old, people of all ages celebrating in community together at an open mic. Some of the older folks would perform their songs and the kids would sit quietly and respectfully and listen on their own. And then when the teens were performing, even if it was like hardcore metal, the adults were listening. Now, they probably wouldn't go home and buy that music, nor would the kids buy the older folks' music, but they enjoyed it all the same because they were in community. Miracles happen everywhere. This wasn't just a youth problem that we were experiencing. It was a church problem. And as a result of fishing in different waters and going deeper, both the church and the youth grew. Out of my willingness to go deeper, to chart new waters, we had an abundant catch. And people who initially came for the music and the fun found their faith. I had one youth come up to me as I was being appointed to my first church as a pastor, and I was leaving my youth ministry position. I had a youth come up to me and say, you know, before coming here to this open mic, I didn't know if I even believed in God, let alone what I believed in. But now I know I believe in God, and this is my church. Folks, we had an abundant catch. In scripture, sisters and brothers, God is reminding us that with God, all things are possible. Amen? If God is with us while we fish, what will stop us from an abundant catch? Amen? Through your generous support of the ministries in your church, through your prayers, your presence, your service, and your generous gifts, your church will witness to your community and the world that Jesus Christ is risen, alive and well, and Lord. Amen? That God's kingdom is for real, and it is at hand. Now, in my church, we are doing something called a Miracles Everywhere campaign, hence the title of this message series. And we will support our efforts to become a hope center in the greater Newton area, to bring Jesus to people and to bring people to Jesus. Amen? That's what we're called to do as Christians. We will support our Greater New Jersey Conference's efforts around the world, including its partnership with Tanzania. And I am actually going to post to this message, I'll post in the notes, the video of what's happening over in Tanzania. Really awesome stuff. Friends, with faith and with effort, we will grow from lamenting ministry. In my setting, in your setting, wherever you are, we'll grow from lamenting ministry to exclaiming, "Holy mackerel, Jesus! What do we do with all of this fish?" There are miracles everywhere, and I want to encourage you, if you're a part of a faith community, support it with your prayers, with your presence, with your service, with your gifts, and with your witness. If you're not a part of a church, find one. Be a part of the body of Christ. Be a part of a community that is doing something to transform this world, that is doing something to build the kingdom of God. If you're unable to find a ministry in the moment to support, check out Miracles Everywhere. Check out what the Greater New Jersey Conference is doing. Consider supporting that to be a part of the effort to transform the world and to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples of Jesus Christ to transform the world. Friends, with faith and effort, we will grow from lamenting ministry to exclaiming, "Holy mackerel, Jesus, what do we do with all of this fish?" There are miracles everywhere, in Newton, wherever you are, in Tanzania, all across the world. Praise Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for this message. We are thankful for your call for us to go and catch more fish. And Lord, sometimes that task seems hopeless, but we know that you are guiding us and that in you and through you, all things are possible. Help us, Lord. Help us to grow in our faith and to believe with all of our hearts that you are working to help us catch an abundant amount of fish. And so, Lord, here are our nets. We cast them in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. Again, the message was Holy Mackerel. It's a part one of a four-part message series called Miracles Everywhere. And I would like to invite you to tune into next week's segment of this message, the next week's part two of this message, of this series. I also would like to turn your attention to Life-Giving Water Message, lifegivingwatermsg.org. That is the website of this particular podcast where you can subscribe to this podcast. You can also subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe on Google Play Music. You can subscribe on Spotify. So there are a lot of options for you out there when it comes to this message, podcast. I'd like to also invite you to check out Life-Giving Water Devo, Life-Giving Water, D as in dog, E as in elephant, V as in victory, O as in orange, .org. And there are my biweekly devotions. They come out on Wednesday and Friday every week, and they're completely free. Make use of them. That's why I write them, and I hope you'll gain stuff out of that. Also, check out partyonjohn.org, partyonjohn.org, where Sal, Sir Marco, and myself talk about everything from coffee to heavy metal to movies in the latest podcast, which came out this past Thursday. And we also talk about all things theological and current. So we would love to have you check that out. In the meantime, friends, I want to remind you that God has blessed you. Be a blessing to others. go in peace.